We want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church, and I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. This morning we want to talk about our involvement as believers in the area of leading and supporting government. You know, we're instructed to overcome evil by doing good to all people. That particular verse comes right before the Apostle Paul tells us how to respond to government. I'll read it to you. Romans 12 and verse 20. Therefore, if an enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And yes, we are living in a society that on every hand seems to become more and more anti-God and anti-Bible. But the very next verse says, let every soul be subject under the higher powers, or that's the same word for rulers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, there it is again, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay you tribute, or taxes also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. So we are instructed to overcome evil by doing good to all people. Now, I guess the question is, does this work with our relationship to the government as well? Now, I know a lot of Christians that think that politics would be classified as dirty, and so consequently we need to abstain from any involvement. But yet, the Bible also talks about us being salt and light. And does that salt and light relationship drive us to be involved in the political scene? We have the opportunity to vote. And someone has well said that inaction is action without a voice. Inaction is action without a voice. The temptation not to vote, for whatever reason, is simply action without a voice. And how critically important it is for believers to vote and vote their biblical consciences so that they will be able to say, I'm going to be involved in that relationship. Now, churches have to maintain their focus on preaching the gospel and edifying the saints. But does that primary focus negate any involvement in the society in which we are strategically placed? How can we be salt and light in a dark world? And the Bible tells us that the church has to be the tool of God to lay down principles that govern politics and everything else. In declaring biblical principles, we are being salt and light without entering into politics as institutions. You see, the church is not the government, but the government is not the church. But it is up to us to help people understand biblical principles. Now, God ordained the church and the institution of human government, so it's our business to say so and to educate governmental leaders concerning God's principles for leadership. When I was pastoring in previous ministries, I had the opportunity to invite political leaders to our church. And during that time, we would study the Word of God to see what God had to say about governmental leadership and right principles of right and wrong with which to govern the people. It is our responsibility and our opportunity to teach the organization of the government, to teach the state to maintain order. and how to make sure that there is freedom for the citizens of the state, political freedom and religious freedom. So it's the government's responsibility to see that no one religion is given precedence over others. But the state should not attempt to force citizens to convert to any religion or to force citizens to become atheists. Now here's where it becomes very important that we understand the biblical principles. You see, teaching of evolution and humanism that basically says man is God in the public schools violates the authority of the state because that is where they are now teaching religion. Because evolution is anti-God and pro-humanism. And so consequently, little children are giving the impression that there is no God. Ooh, that's religion. They're given the impression that there has never been a creation and that these views are taught with authority. In fact, the authority of the teacher can bring tremendous pressure to conform young minds and young hearts. See, these things, then, are in violation to the instruction of the Bible under which we are to live. Now, there is no biblical teaching that an individual Christian should never enter politics. I know lots of times people say, well, you know, politics are dirty, and I want to be clean. But there's no biblical principle, there's no biblical commandment saying that Christians cannot be involved in the political leadership. For instance, just remember Joseph and how God brought him to Egypt so that he could become a leader in Egypt and then therefore bring his family that eventually became the nation of Israel, 2-3 million strong, and cause them to build into a tremendous nation under his leadership. But God designed Joseph to be in political leadership. How about Daniel? It wasn't Daniel's idea to be carried away captive along with the other 9,999 young men that were carried away captive into the Babylonian Empire. But when he was, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself as he was being trained for political leadership in the country. As a result of that, he and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were given positions of governmental leadership. And down through all the years of captivity, God tremendously used them and their biblical principles to bring men to repentance, even to bring the greatest king that they knew in that time, and his name was Nebuchadnezzar, to bring him to the point of understanding there is no other God to be worshipped other than this God. But you see, God used these young men to bring him to that point. Yeah, do you remember Zacchaeus? He was a governmental leader in Jesus' day. And after his conversion, he was never instructed to resign his post, but he was instructed to carry out his governmental duties with integrity. Now, how about Cornelius? After his conversion in Acts chapter 10, he continued to serve in the army. You see, there is no prohibition for believers when it comes to serving our country. In fact, the Lord is pleased when we are serving our country with integrity. There's no prohibition for individual Christian citizens from attempting to influence the opinions of our legislators through writing letters or phone calls. And, of course, if that doesn't work, then the ballot box always works. See, Christians should be the best citizens a country has ever had. Now, let me give you some points in that area. Number one, good Christians cannot be bad citizens. Good Christians cannot be bad citizens. See, in the New Testament times, there were Jews in the Church of Rome, the church to which the Apostle Paul wrote this passage of Scripture in Romans 13. And they had always given the Roman government fits wherever they lived. Because, you see, Deuteronomy 17:15 instructed them never to appoint a national ruler over themselves who was not a Jew. I quote, "Thou shalt not in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother." Now, obviously, this is when they are choosing a king. Don't choose someone who is not a Jew. Well, they felt so strongly against having a political leader ruling over them that they felt like they were sinning against God if they even acknowledged a Gentile leader. And since they knew the Scriptures better than their Gentile brothers, they were often very influential in causing Gentile believers to reject rulers who were not believers. Now, you get this? Because they were not believers in the Lord, they were not Christians, then these Jewish believers would say, well, therefore, we should not be obeying them at all. And so consequently, the Apostle Peter had to address this issue in his book in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 18. He said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing, get this, with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. That's 1 Peter 2:17. Verse 18, servants, be subject unto your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. So yes, they thought they could be good Christians and bad citizens. In fact, they felt like they had to. And I know some Christians today that have the same philosophy. If we don't have a believer, a godly Christian, as the leader of our country, then, well, I mean, goodness, there's no way in the world that we possibly can be responsive to his leadership. But you know, number two, good Christians must also be good citizens. Listen to what God said to the nation of Israel after they were carried away captive, Jeremiah 29:7. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. He's saying, pray to the Lord for the peace of the nation that is not run by believers, but it is run by unbelievers. Pray for them. Seek the peace. Now, go back to Romans 13. The Bible says, let every soul be subject. And so that simply means believers are not. We are to be subject unto the higher powers, whether or not our leaders are believers or not. Be subject to them. Unless we, of course, are commanded to disobey the Scriptures. See, the disciples, you remember in the book of Acts, chapter 4, were commanded by the Jewish leaders not to teach or preach in the name of Jesus. Now, that is the time where you have to stand up and say, I'm sorry. But in all due respect, I have to obey God's word. Well, our time has come to an end, so we'll have to pick this up the next time. But the question of how should we respond to the leaders of our country is a vitally important question. And I want us to enter this discussion, enter this thought with a spirit of prayer that God can use us as positive lights and salt in our decaying society. So until the next time, I trust the Lord will bless you in a fantastic way.